We heard two movements of the suite for horn, tuba, and piano by Lester Pack, performed by Celeste Shearer on horn, Jim Shearer on tuba, and Daryl Fitzparton on the piano. Composer Lester Pack is in our studios right now, as are Jim Shearer, the tuba player from that recording, and here at New Mexico State University, and Monica Mojica, actress and performer here in Las Cruces. Welcome to all of you.
Thank you,
Leora.
Tonight, music by Lester Pack will be on the program, created in collaboration with Monica Mojica and several musicians. And it's a world premiere, a work called Grave or Grave, and dealing with a local legend, the famous, infamous murder that took place in that, well, we always think of it in the back room at the Double Eagle restaurant in Mesilla, because that's where the ghostly pictures are of a woman who got really mad and kills her son and his forbidden lover. Such a classic tale of love and death. Welcome to you all, Monica and Lester Pack. I'm going to focus this interview on you. Jim Shearer, you'll speak up when you can. how did this start with words, start with music, start with an idea? How did this work rise out of the ashes of those poor dead
those
souls?
Poor dead souls. Okay, so you know something, Cuckoo, is that I was on the Travel Channel's national taping of the Double Eagle murder. So that had already attracted some national attention. And I played Señora Maez, the woman who, in a fit of passion and some shears, not a shearer, shears, had her moment. And Dr. Shearer said, hey, I have this an idea. Let's do this piece. And how about you write a little bit about it? And I think that maybe, and I might be speaking out of turn here, that you were maybe thinking of it more as a narrative. And I felt really compelled to have sort of voices from the past, like the echoing of these spirits, indicative in the text. So it's more, I give a little talk about what happened before for those who aren't familiar with the legend, but it's more like echoes and spirited in the text. And then the wonderful music, this fellow over here,
that would be
took it over the top.
That would be Lester Pack. So what happened, Lester, when you got the words and the conception?
Well, it was a ghost story, you know, really. And I was inspired by my favorite composer, Alban Berg, who...
that's already
and
scary.
Right. I know, that's weird. I'm a theory teacher. I can't help it.
Well, no, but he actually wrote some of his most beautiful music, like his violin concerto, for somebody who had died.
That's so, right.
Okay. Ooh, and, it just got colder
this
in here.
This one, basically, I took from... I didn't take anything, but I took inspiration from the opera Lulu, who was a black widow. You know, every man she touched died. So and at the end of the opera, she was killed by Jack the Ripper in London, if you know the story, you know. I mean, it's a strange German expressionism, you know. And the music is just beautiful and dark and ghostly and eerie. And I used a lot of that for the inspiration for most of it. There's some tender moments in the, you know, where the mother and the son have some tender moments, and the music changes to dolce, which is sweetly, you know. And then, of course, the stabbing scene. And the stabbing scene in the real, what really happens, she only stabbed each of them once, if I'm not mistaken, but that, you know, that wouldn't have been any fun. So I added the French horn is the stabbing sounds, and it's got about 8 or 9 of them in it, I think. I can't remember, something like that. And Celeste does such a good job with that. But that inspiration came from one of my composition teachers, who is George Crumb. And I got to study with George Crumb when he was composer in residence at one of the schools I went to in graduate school. And so anyway, it just really worked. I mean, I did a lot of research and studied Monica's libretto really closely. And It really flowed pretty well. I mean, pretty easily for me. It's such a descriptive text, and it makes so much sense that it really did flow pretty easily for me. So,
how long is this work?
About 15 minutes.
That's
and
right.
You'll be including Will Kilroy, who's the NMSU Theater Department Chair, and also Larissa Lurie, I think I read.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah. And mm-hmm. yourself.
And me, yeah.
So and are you again the mother?
Yes, I am. I
get she's the stabber.
Jim always says I get a little stabby.
Yeah.
We were saying before the interview started that your husband, Dr. Fred Bugbee, who's the percussion professor here at New Mexico State, gets quite a workout in this piece.
Holy cow, Jim. You need to explain it.
Actually, Fred, the biggest workout for Fred is on a different piece. That's on Jim Grant's piece.
Oh, that's
called
right.
3D. Although Fred has a good bit on Lester's piece as well. This really started with Jim Grant's piece. We did a new commission the whole concert effort. Came together. We did a new commission with Jim Grant for horn, tube, and piano, and we wanted to play that piece, of course, so we said, well, let's just build a whole show around tuba, horn, and percussion. And that was when we contacted Lester and said, hey, write another piece. And then we found the third piece on the show, the Nellie Bell Octet, which is a different piece. But once Lester said he wanted to use string quartet, I said, well, I'm going to have the string quartet anyway. So that's how the program came together. So it just sort of organically grew one piece out of another. And all three of them have pretty gnarly percussion parts.
That's kind of the magic of music, and putting on a live concert is, you know, one thing just, it's so collaborative, and one thing grows out of the next. So La Katrina Quartet will be performing Jim Shearer,
correct.
Celeste Shearer, Fred Bugbee.
Yep. We have Adriel Hernandez on the Nellie Bell piece. He's playing electric bass. It's a solid 1970s modern piece. So string quartet, tuba, electric bass, and two percussionists, Dr. Bugbee, and we're also bringing in our friend Larry White, who used to teach percussion at UTEP.
I don't know much of Nellie Bell's music, but I associate it with band.
Absolutely.
Yeah,
he was a very active band composer. He wrote a lot of kind of teaching pieces, chamber music, solo pieces, duets, trios, quartets, that sort of thing that were used in solo and ensembles around the world. This piece was commissioned in 1974 for a tuba conference, and it was played there twice, and we know that it was performed in 2005 with the Stuttgart Orchestra, and that's it. We think this is the fourth time it's ever been performed.
Oh, my
gosh.
And
it's a fascinating piece of music. It's really, really interesting. We have Dr. Michael Mapp conducting, thank goodness. That makes it a lot easier.
So. Fabulous.
So it's a very diverse show tonight. So you'll get Jim Grant's premiere, horn tuba, and seriously, Fred Bugbee doing ballet percussion. It's amazing to watch. And then we'll do the Nellie Bell Octet, and then we close out with the Grave. So.
All right. Share the mic again back with Lester Pack, a composer. You know, you said a little bit about how you developed the piece, but when you get a libretto, like what Monica wrote, what's the beginning process? Do you take a walk and sort of see what occurs to you? Like, how does a composer just dive in? Or do you just start with the white page and start writing, or the computer screen?
I started. I read and studied and did research on the Double Eagle and the history of it and everything that went into it before I wrote even one note. So, you know, I knew the piece was going to be like a ghost story in Erie, and that was the what I did before I did even wrote a note of it.
And I guess it's a little different when it's this kind of a commission or a project, because you knew in advance what your instruments were going to be, whereas when you start just, writing a piece of music, you don't necessarily know what it's going to be.
Well, Jim did give me the freedom to pick a chamber ensemble. He says, you can use string quartet if you want to, or whatever. And I went, okay, I can do that. You know?
And the
piano, too. There's piano part on mine, too.
Okay.
And this is the first time I've ever written anything like this, where the libretto is acted and spoken, and not it's not opera or anything. There's no singing in it. It's just acting and spoken, and I haven't seen it yet, actually. I've only heard the rehearsal from that Jim sent me, so this is going to be new for me tonight as well.
Wow. No, right, because you're the composer. You guys have had a rehearsal. You just get to show up and see what happens.
Yeah.
So you're not singing, you're speaking, Monica.
Right.
But it's dramatic. This is a dramatic presentation with music.
Yeah, I think that the story itself lends to drama. But then, yeah, we go ahead and embody these characters. And it does get pretty intense.
Do you need a set for such a thing or costumes?
It's we decided to have it be, again, paying respect to the ghost, sort of non-conforming. So it's imaginative. We're all dressed in black. The lighting is pretty spooky, but we don't need it. We don't need it because we're already there.
Yeah.
It's something else.
When you were first inhabiting the character, as you said, for the travel, what's the show called again?
It's called Ghost Adventurers.
Oh, okay.
Some proper English.
Yeah, I remember when they were. I remember reading in the paper.
Yeah,
when they came.
Yeah.
You know, did you feel? I mean, you're from this area.
Oh, Leora.
What was the feeling of connection that you had with this story?
I think I did it mainly for a job is why I did it. And I am Native American, and I went to my medicine man, and my husband and I both did. And we were in the middle of the Franklin Mountains. We met him, and we did a ceremony because my belief system is that spirits like that are real and that they can follow you home. And so we did a cleansing ritual right after it. And so when Jim mentioned Double Eagle, part of me was like, oh my gosh. But then I feel that we are called in this world and this life to advance. We need to do things that scare us a little bit, that frighten us a little bit, and that certainly did. So taking on this woman and her compendium of problems and her loyalties, playing her the second time, I really had empathy for her, and I could see her frailties. It's so easy, and we talk about this in the piece, for this to be another cocktail story, you know, where we're just telling like a fun thing. These are real people. Real blood was shed. And where, I say where it was once dark, we now can have the world's a really fine margarita. I'm enjoying hearing, as I talk about this to other people, I'm enjoying hearing their stories of what's happened at the Double Eagle. I mean, beyond the servers or beyond what is usually told and retold and retold. And there's some very real things, I believe, that are there, feelings that arise of terror, of tenderness. And I think those feelings, without having ever articulated as much to Lester, are echoed in the piece beautifully. Mm-hmm. All those stories you can hear in the music.
And once you'd sort of distanced yourself in some way because you were putting it on paper,
right?
Did that allow you to feel less frightened by the return of the spirits?
I pay very close attention to that kind of thing. I feel like after tonight, I can put her to rest and wish her all the best. At the very end of the piece is particularly dynamic, and we still have a sense that they're not done yet, mm-hmm. that they're not finished with what's on this earth, and that those three are still somewhat in a battle, a playful battle, but a battle nonetheless. So again, echoing local legend.
Huh. Now, okay, Lester.
I just wanted to say Jim and Celeste took me to the Double Eagle last night, and I got to sit in one of the infamous chairs. So I sat in Armando's chair, right?
Armando's, mm-hmm.
Yeah, right. I sat in his chair last night, and if you sit in the chair, you're supposed to have nightmares about what happened to him. So
no.
I haven't yet, so. But.
All right, but speaking of terror, what does it feel like as a composer? You haven't seen this full production yet. You're going to sit there in a hall full of people tonight, and what is it like for you?
Nervous tension. I can tell you I'll be extremely nervous. Every time, you know, it's funny, being a composer, you have no control over how your music sounds or looks or whatever. And it's the most terrifying thing in the world. It's not like playing an instrument, which you have control over. You know, it's when you compose something, someone else is more than likely playing it, yeah. you know, or conducting it or whatever.
Yeah. So that's true. I you know, because there's so many cases in classical music where somebody's premiere either failed or was successful because of the performers.
Right.
And if you had the wrong performers, it just didn't work. But sure. if you had the right performers, it could be a great
hit. I've had that in plays that I've written, too, where yeah. I'm just kind of watching something unfold. Oh, yeah. And it's a beautiful lesson for life to just loosen that control and see what's birthed.
Yeah. Jim Shearer, any last comments about the concert tonight and your role just as master collaborator and commissioner?
Well, people ask us, why are you doing this show? And I'm like, because it's there. You know, we started working with Jim Grant on a new piece, and then we said, well, let's get Lister to write a new piece. And then I found the Nellie Bell, which is really obscure. I said, this is a good fit. And kind of organically, we've got a show, and we called it NMSU Faculty Chamber Ensemble. There's really no such thing. We just made that up for this concert, so it's whoever is playing on a given show, but it worked out great. And I should clear up, too, we've been talking world premiere with Jim Grant. The truth is that Jim Grant piece 3D that really started this whole thing, it's a group commission, and Celeste and I were members of a consortium that commissioned this. They're our lead commissioners, and actually they get to do the world premiere, and it will happen next year at a big international conference. So tonight is kind of a commissioner's premiere series, or it's a workshop premiere, whatever you want to call it. We can't technically call it the world premiere, even though we're doing it first. But
we'll call it the workshop premiere, because after all, as somebody who's playing it, you get to say, you know what, you can dicker with this a little, because it's going to need some work.
It is. It's an adventurous piece. And it's, like I say, me and Celeste, we're playing Wait Till You See What Fred Does. It's quite a thing.
And I'm sure this will be recorded for Jim Grant.
Absolutely. Yes, we're actually streaming it live. It'll be streaming on the internet as well. So, and then the Nellie Bell, such an obscure piece. So we're really glad to bring that back to life. And we'll finish up with a great ghost story.
Well, you've done a lot, Jim, to bring unusual musical combinations. I mean, even this whole CD that we played from earlier with tuba and string quartet and tuba, horn, and piano with your wife, Celeste. So that's wonderful. So, Lester Pack, I don't think I gave any background on you. We only have less than a minute left. You're at the University of Arkansas, where you teach and where you also graduated from.
I teach at the University of Arkansas in Monticello, Arkansas.
Oh, okay.
It's a branch of the University of Arkansas.
Okay.
But anyway, I teach music theory and form and analysis and jazz guitar lessons and bass guitar lessons. So, and I have quite a few students listening, so a little shout out to them.
Shout out to
they're listening to the streaming.
KRWG streams live around the world.
That's right, KRWG.org. Well, thank you, Monica Mojica, Lester Pack, composer, and Jim Shearer, tuba player. The concert's tonight at 7:30 at the Atkinson Recital Hall. Great combination of contemporary music with actors and musicians from Las Cruces and elsewhere. Have a great weekend. Thanks to everybody for listening and for calling in your requests. Stay with us on KRWG Las Cruces, KRXG Silver City. It's 4 o'clock.